Of God convention down there. It was a wonderful time. Many other pastors and leaders and lay people were there. It was just wonderful. And we were able to be encouraged and sort of reminded of who we were called to be as the Church of God Reformation Movement. That's actually the original name. It's a longer name, so we've kind of dropped that. Oftentimes that's not referred to. We're just called the Church of God. But the full title was actually the Church of God Reformation Movement. And there was a need that was seen and a move of the Spirit of God that God was moving to reform and refine His church. And so the Church of God began back in the late 1880s. And so we were reminded there of some of the tenets that we've carried through from the beginning of our roots until now. And some of those things have changed a little bit, but some of them have stayed the same. And so there was a bit of a summary from our general director, Jim Lyon, who outlined five things. And I thought, ooh, that's a great outline for a sermon series. And so last week, we talked about Jesus being the subject. How above all else, we are called to follow Jesus. Whether you're in the Church of God, or whether you're in the United Church, or the Catholic Church, or the Covenant Church, or the Lutheran Church, or the Reformed Church, any other church, it's not about church. It's about Jesus. It's never about church. It's about Jesus. And the people who follow Jesus are the church. And so we're reminded, even as we sort of gather as the Church of God and we experience some pride and get to, you know, just enjoy the sweet fellowship of being with folks who minister within the same family, we're also reminded it's not about the Church of God. It's about Jesus. Jesus is the subject. The second one is what we're going to deal with today. And we're reminded that we are people of the Holy Spirit. We are people of the Holy Spirit. We believe in a thing called holiness. The only way that holiness is possible in the life of a human being is if the Spirit of God works within a human being to bring that about. We cannot, in our own efforts, ever earn holiness or achieve holiness. There's not enough good deeds we can do. There's not a certain pilgrimage we could make. There's not enough money to give that could earn us holiness. But we are people of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when I say that, there's different reactions even. People are like, oh, what comes to mind? You know? Some of you are like, oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit. Others are like, we've seen some things, maybe some abuses, maybe some people interpreted things different than I did, and I wasn't fully on board with that. And that's fine. But we are people of the Holy Spirit. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then it is very important that the Holy Spirit you realize He's come and dwelling within you and will work to transform you into the person God wants you to be. Now, when I was younger, I loved Star Wars. And to be honest, I still do. And it's one of the few times when a new Star Wars movie comes out that I would actually consider going to the theater and spending that ridiculous amount of money to go see something in the theater. Because when you see it on a screen like the size of the wall and those spaceships come in, you know, and the music starts, man, you get goosebumps. At least I do. So I love Star Wars. It's an exciting thing. I love the movies. We can debate about the prequels and the sequels and all that later. But there's something in Star Wars that's interesting. If you ever stop and think about it, the whole series is actually about the Force. It's not about Luke Skywalker or Han Solo or any of the other. It's actually about the Force. And there's this force in the universe that you know, it can be manipulated by the good people or by the bad people, and they have to learn to harness it. And Luke goes to Yoda, a wise and ancient master who teaches him how to harness the Force and speaks poor English. And so sometimes I used to think, you know, when I was younger or even a teenager, you know, when I hear or would read stories in the Bible about the Holy Spirit and some of these powerful things, even where, like, there's a story in Acts where Philip is running alongside the chariot of an Ethiopian eunuch, and that eunuch is reading the Bible, and Philip happens to be there beside him. Hello, how you doing? Good. Do you know what you're reading? No. Would you like me to explain it? Sure, hop up. So he gets on board, and Philip explains to him, as he's reading in Isaiah, and he explains the gospel of Jesus Christ. The eunuch says, well, what's to stop me from being baptized right now? They pull over, they hop out, he baptizes, and then the eunuch keeps going, and all of a sudden, Philip is gone. He disappears and appears in another place. I'm like, man, that is cool. The Holy Spirit. But that only happens once. But it's when I was younger, I almost thought of like maybe the Holy Spirit's kind of like the Force in Star Wars. But it's not. Absolutely not. It's nothing like that at all. See, in Star Wars, the Force, you have to learn to tune in and you learn to control it. The Holy Spirit is absolutely opposite of that. Now, you do need to learn to tune in, but there is no controlling the Holy Spirit. Actually, the Spirit is utterly unpredictable. Jesus compares it to the wind that blows where it pleases. And so the idea of controlling the Holy Spirit is actually comical. You can't. We need to tune in, but then the whole part of it is that we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We never get to control the Holy Spirit. It's learning to submit to the Holy Spirit, to hear and to understand what God's Spirit is saying to us, and we respond in obedience to God's will. And so the Spirit is utterly unpredictable. The Spirit convicts of sin. The Spirit guides, it teaches, he reminds, he helps us pray. He points to Jesus in all things. The Spirit will not contradict Scripture. The Spirit shares Jesus' mission to seek and save the lost. Sometimes we can forget that. And if you want to hear more, I did a sermon on it on June 11th, and it's posted on our website. And we called that the Introducing the Holy Spirit. So there's a few more things for the groundwork there. So I don't want to review all of that. What I want to do today is take a look at a different scripture. We want to look in Galatians. And Paul writes in Galatians 5, starting at verse 13. If you want to turn in your Bibles or open your phones to your app, it's Galatians 5:13 is what we're going to read today. Galatians 5. And it's sort of, my Bible has a little title in there called Life by the Spirit. Galatians 5:13. Here we are. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I'm going to read that again, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary or opposite of the Spirit. And the Spirit desires what is opposite or contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Side note here. Common movie wisdom is follow your heart. It's not really very good advice. If we're truly honest and we let God reveal, we have sinful hearts. Now, there's a regeneration process that the Holy Spirit does within us, but overall, I would say follow the Holy Spirit, not just follow your heart. Because the Spirit and the flesh are in conflict with each other. But in verse 18 it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now it goes on to explain here a little bit. The acts of the flesh are obvious, because this is kind of a weird term, right? The flesh. It's a real churchy term. What does it mean, the flesh? Let me explain it to you in verse 18. 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's the example of the flesh, what it means to live by the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit are these things, is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So I want to read verse 25 again. Actually, 24 and 25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So he's implying here that the Spirit will lead us, that there is a Spirit to keep in step with, that God's Spirit will be working and showing us a pattern or a path or a pace for us to mimic, to stay with him. And so today, what I want to talk about, share with you, is exploring a little bit, what is that like? What is it like to walk by the Spirit or to keep in step with the Spirit? Now, the Spirit is not controllable. Again, we have to remember that. The Spirit cannot be under anyone else's control. And actually, there's a story in Acts where Simon, the sorcerer, sees the power that the apostles have, and he desires that for himself. He wants to be able to give that to people too. And so he says, hey, I'll pay you guys. Give me that power so that I can give out the Spirit too. And Peter says, oh man, you better repent. You thought you could control the Holy Spirit. You are in deep trouble, like huge violation. Simon said, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. Please pray for me because I don't want to violate that. And so Peter prays for him and he's spared. But Simon thought that he could control or own or have the Holy Spirit to be able to give out. Big, big no-no. We don't control the Holy Spirit. And so to think about, well, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Again, there's a lot of scriptures. You can do research yourself. But what I want to talk about today is how hearing the Holy Spirit can work. I don't want to say this is the way to hear the Holy Spirit or this is the only way, but I just want to share some of the ways that I have heard the Holy Spirit. Because I found in my life that listening to the Holy Spirit is a difficult thing. That it's kind of weird. It's kind of nebulous, meaning like it's hard to grasp. It's hard to grab. It's not something like super concrete. And so how do we do it? And you can have some people that will say, oh, the way they talk is, oh, God told me this, God told me that, the Holy Spirit showed me this, God told me. And other people were just sitting there saying, wow, God must talk to them an awful lot. I sure don't get that sort of dialogue. Why are they so special? So I'm not trying to make anybody feel isolated or separate. I want to share a few of the stories of how I've experienced the Holy Spirit in my life, because some of these stories, I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit until after. Until after another believer said, oh, I've had that too. Or I've read a book with other believers and say, yes, this is how the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. And so, first off, I would say that if you know what your conscience feels like, that's probably the closest thing that I could say. If you've ever felt a prick in your conscience, that's the closest thing, and it may have even been the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, the Holy Spirit, when we say, speaks to us, is doing that. There's an impression, there's a nudge, there's a thought, There's an inclination to do something or to say something or to act on something or to not do something or to put something back or to, but it's very similar to your conscience. And the first way that we can explore or get into the Holy Spirit and understand what he's saying is by reading the Word of God. If we read the Word of God faithfully and regularly, we begin to understand what God's Word says. We're investing it into our minds and our hearts. And we're actually giving, we're filing it away so that the Holy Spirit can bring it back at the proper time and place. The Holy Spirit can help us to know how to apply what we've read. When we read it, we didn't understand it. But now we're in the middle of a situation, and all of a sudden, that scripture comes to our mind. And it's the thing that we were just reading about, and here's the opportunity. But I would say, when it comes to listening to the Holy Spirit, there's three areas that I wanted to share some examples of. The first is purifies. The Holy Spirit purifies. The Holy Spirit speaks to evangelize. And the Holy Spirit guides. So, I also have to give this caveat. You never build doctrine on personal experience. Okay? So I'm not telling you how to build doctrine. We build doctrine on the Word of God. So this is not building doctrine. This is trying to help you understand what it might be to hear the Holy Spirit in your life so that you can walk and keep in step with the Spirit. It takes practice. And if I don't tell you this, who will? I don't know. Maybe you'll find a book or a sermon. Great. First thing is purifies. The Holy Spirit purifies. This is one of his main jobs. Purification. The Spirit is holy. God is holy. Part of the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make us holy. And so the Spirit convicts of sin. This is one of the reasons why sometimes we stop listening to the Holy Spirit, or we don't like listening to the Holy Spirit, because it sucks when you feel convicted of sin. I don't like it. It feels uncomfortable. I feel guilty. I feel some shame. I feel convicted. I feel heavy. I feel yucky. I feel unclean. And I don't like it. But the best way to deal with it is to clean it up. Not in your own power, but by understanding the Word of God that says, Jesus paid the price for my sin. That if I confess my sin, then he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me, make clean of all my unrighteousness. That's a promise. And so the Holy Spirit, when convicts me of sin, I need to confess it and repent of it, which means turning away. And then the Holy Spirit can cleanse and purify. And so sometimes this has happened when I've been listening to music. There's a band that, when I was a teenager, I listened to a lot of music that you probably shouldn't listen to. And some of the bands, I really loved the music. It was unique, I really liked the music. And so I could kind of compromise and get past the lyrics because the music was so good and unique. But then I'd come to a point where something inside of me would just feel convicted. Every time I'd turn that album on, or that band, I would feel like, I didn't feel right. Shouldn't listen to it. It's not a big blaring like, stop right now. It was just an irk, something inside. It's like a pebble in your shoe, but it's something inside of your spirit or in your head that says, I really shouldn't listen to this. Those words are not honoring to Christ. I've also had met times when I've been asking God about something, and let me tell you this too. It just starts here. If you want to hear God, start by asking, God, what do I need to confess? What sin have I not confessed? Where is there anybody I need to ask forgiveness from? What do I need to ask you forgiveness for? That's the best way. If you want to begin hearing God, start there. Start there, because God wants you to be holy. God wants to purify you and use you and work in your life. He wants you to keep in step with the Spirit. But part of that has to do with holiness and refining us. So if you get serious about wanting to hear God, start with asking, what do I need to confess? Where do I have sin in my life? Where have I ignored you? Show me these things, and he will. Sometimes it's a TV show. Same type of thing. You watch, and maybe the first couple episodes were good, then it starts. The storyline starts to progress into where areas where you're like, maybe this isn't so God-honoring anymore. But it's such a good story. Am I really going to keep watching? Sometimes I have a check in my spirit that says, and again, I'm trying to describe it for you. It just, there's a feeling in my gut that says, you don't need to watch this. Sometimes it's asking forgiveness. Sometimes if I'm praying, God will show me someone that I've said something about, a careless word. I've called my aunt. I've called a guy who used to lead a mission trip. I've had numerous phone calls where I've been asking God about something, and the only thing that comes to mind is that I need to call this person and make it right. I need to ask for their forgiveness. And man, that's uncomfortable. And I've argued with God about that, saying, they don't even know I said that. They don't know I did that. So why would I even ask them for forgiveness, but they don't even know it? But you know what? It's kind of like God's like, well, if you don't want to do, you said, show me what you want me to do, God. I'm showing you what I want you to do. So until you do it, we got nothing else to talk about. You know, it's kind of like that with kids. I want dessert. I want dessert. Well, clean up your toys. Then we get dessert. But I just want, well, you deal with that. Then we can move on. Sometimes God will reveal my bad attitude towards someone. Like I don't go around thinking like, boy, what a jerk, what a jerk, what a jerk. But something happens and you get an interaction and you kind of come away and you're like, man, I just never liked that person. I don't really. And then all of a sudden I'm thinking, why do I have such a bad attitude toward them? Where does that come from? Sometimes God might reveal a hidden motivation where I really want something, whether it's to buy or to hang out with a person or whatever it is. And there could be something, and God, I have this sense inside of me that says, don't buy it. Don't go there. Don't hang out with them. Don't do this. And I don't even know why sometimes. But sometimes later I see, oh, my motivation, maybe that was selfish. Maybe it was ego. Maybe it was pride. Maybe I wanted them to see me do this thing. So the Holy Spirit, hearing the Holy Spirit, he helps purify us. Secondly, evangelize. Again, some of that, this word makes some of us squirm. Evangelize? Well, that's not really me. But the reality is, friends, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And if we are going to follow Jesus, guess where that's going to lead us? I mean, it's really simple logic, but we'd like to try to avoid it. We tend to like the Jesus life enrichment plan, that Jesus will give me what I want and help make my life better in all these areas. But that's really not what we find in the Gospels. And so part of this is that one of Jesus and the Holy Spirit's main priorities is to evangelize, to help people understand who Jesus is, who he was, why he came, what his words mean. And so Jesus' Spirit, right? If the Holy Spirit is part of God, and this was Jesus, God sent Jesus to seek and save the lost. The Father sent the Son goes and sends the Spirit. Guess what? It's the same agenda. Seek and save the lost. People who don't know Jesus. And so the Spirit helps carry on that work. After the Spirit purifies, or as the Spirit purifies us, the Spirit also calls us to love like Jesus loved. And to evangelize, to share the good news. Sometimes we haven't even experienced the good news. But as we learn to walk in holiness, and with a clean conscience, we begin to understand the good news is that I could not have saved myself. I'm left to my own device. I am in I'm a wreck. But God didn't leave me there. He spared me. He's transforming me day by day. And I want to share that with others. Now, this is tough. So one of the ways that this has happened in my life, again, I'm only sharing stories. I'm not building your doctrine so much as sharing, telling, I want you to be able to understand how God's Holy Spirit works or has worked in how he's spoken to me. And so there was a time when I was in Guam, and there was a construction company that was on the back road, and sometimes I would take this back road home, and one of the guys who was in our church, or used to be in our church at the time, used to work there. But I would drive past this company called Smith Bridge, and I would just have this sense of conviction that I should talk with the guys who are sitting out after work. So every Friday, after work, there was a convenience store beside the front gate of this construction company. And the guys would go to the convenience store and buy a whole case of Bud Light, and they'd sit around on the picnic table, and they'd just have a few drinks and finish up before they go home for the weekend. But I would have this feeling in my gut that I needed to stop and talk with these guys. Man, was that uncomfortable. I resisted that a lot. I am not inclined to go and just hang out with beer-drinking strangers and be like, hey guys, how's it going? But part of how I've learned to listen to the Holy Spirit is by ignoring him. It's not the best way to learn, friends. But I ignored it. I ignored his voice. I ignored this thought, this inclination, that conviction that I should go do this. And I didn't want to do it because I was too scared. And so there was numerous times that I would drive by and I just would like take a shortcut. Or sometimes I would like actually turn early so I wouldn't have to drive by that place. Or I would drive by and I would just pray for them instead. But you know what? That feeling and the thought never went away until I did it. So that's why I'm describing this, because there may be something in your life where there's something like that that's so persistent that this is not an idea. Like, I don't come up with creative ideas about strangers I should go talk to. Like, that's not what I sit around thinking about. But I do have them. And sometimes God puts that on my heart and says, you need to go talk with those guys. Really? And I don't want to. And I was like Jonah. And that was something that would come to mind too. I would think about that Bible story. Jonah, Nineveh. He goes the other way. God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. He said, I'm going this way. And that's what I felt. I think of the Bible story of Jonah as I drive past these guys that I'm supposed to go talk to. Again, I never had God speak in an audible voice. I didn't have a written memo. There was nothing in the Word of God that says, go talk to construction workers while they're drinking beer at Smith Bridge Construction Company at the back road on Guam. But the Holy Spirit didn't let me get out of it. And so until I completed the assignment, that thought would not go away. Every Friday, I would have that thought. And I would either be avoiding God or I would do what he said. And eventually I did. Eventually I went and I would go and pray. What I would do is I'd go to the convenience store beside the construction site. I would buy some pop or some chips, and then I would pray, and then I would go over and I would bring them a snack to go with their beer and sit down and kind of chat with them. And anyway, I don't know how good it was. I don't know if I didn't ever just say, like, do you guys all know Jesus? Like, I didn't do that. I didn't know what to do. So I kind of fumbled through and I talked with him or whatever. But I can tell you, after I did it, that gut feeling was not there. That sense of conviction, the sense of you're avoiding what I've told you to do, went away. Because I didn't avoid it. I actually did it. And so sometimes that's what the Holy Spirit will be like. Maybe it's with evangelism or something else. But I would say sometimes that's how it is. You will feel like you need to do something or talk to someone. And until you do, that sense will not go away. And I tell you, as a pastor, that really sucks. Like, it really hurt. I don't know what it did to the ministry, But like, it's really hard to prepare a sermon or to try to be like, okay, God, I'm not reading that verse now. I'm reading this verse. Let's prepare something for your people. And he's like, you didn't do what I asked. Well, next week. I mean, I did stupid creative things, like as though I could trick God or like I'd take it. Like I said, if I stop and think about it, it's really ridiculous. Like, God knows it all. He gave the assignment. I can't get around it. I couldn't escape it. I've failed. Some of the ways that I have learned this is I have failed. There was a time that Leslie and I were in Spain before Ezra came along. And we were up on a hill by a museum, and we were waiting for a light fountain, a big fountain and fireworks show and everything. But it never happened. But as we were sitting there, there's a lot of people from all different countries, tourists, that were all sitting kind of along these steps, looking down and waiting for this. And I had this very strong sense that God was saying, get up in front of these people and tell them about me. Like, I almost lost my breath. Like, I can't do that. And there was guys selling, hey, get your pop or whatever. And they're just selling and hawking. And if the cops come, they all like scatter. And then the cops leave and they're like, hey, da-da-da. But I just couldn't. So I failed. That was one of my failures, that I had a very clear sense that God wanted me to share with an international group of strangers sitting on the steps. And I failed. I didn't do. I was too afraid. Again, this is not on my hobby list. Okay, I'm like, God, show me a great new way to go approach strangers and just preach the gospel in crazy places. I've never asked for that. But then I deal with that. And so there's times that I have really failed. I've failed the Holy Spirit. I haven't listened. I haven't kept in step with the Spirit. But this is part of how I've learned what the Holy Spirit sounds like or feels like. Or this is how to hear. And I don't know what God may have told you or how God has led you in this. But the first one was to purify. The second one is to evangelize. The third one is that God guides. Not everything is big and drastic as what I'm describing. Because some of these stories might really scare you off. You're like, heck, if that's what the Holy Spirit's doing, I want none of it. I don't want that. I don't want God to tell me to do something that risky or scary. Or you're like, you're not really winning us over here, Pastor. If that's the kind of assignment I'm going to get, then I'll just live a mediocre Christian life and I'll let the Spirit do whatever the Spirit wants. That's not God's will either. We're to keep in step with the Spirit. And so the last category is that God guides. God will provide guidance in our everyday lives. Again, I want to remind us to read God's Word. It's His primary way of communicating with us. It's already, so much is already written down. It's the easiest and primary and first source that we go to, God's Word. But the Holy Spirit will remind us of what we read. The Holy Spirit will show us how to apply it. Will bring it to mind in a very real life situation. And you will then have a choice to make. Will I obey the word of God or will I disregard it? Because God's Spirit is telling me how to do it. So one of these occasions for me was a family in our church expressed a need and they had said that they needed a washing machine in certain conditions and they couldn't get one. And I just felt like God was saying, well, give them yours. So I called up a neighbor who was a church member. I said, hey, you want to be in on a little surprise for me? Let's come and help me load up my washing machine. He had a truck. I didn't. So he loaded up the washing machine on his truck, and we went to the house when the family wasn't around. And we just there was an outdoor kind of carport thing where they used it in Guam. So we brought it, offloaded it, and plugged it in, and it was just all there. So when they got home, there was a washing machine that worked for them. Another time, I was coming back from a trip to Uganda, and I was hanging out with some of my other college students from Anderson that I had met. And they were all going shopping and doing all the touristy stuff. But I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, sit with this guy. There was a guy in front of like a kind of a wealthy area of shops. And so a homeless guy just sitting there. So I actually got down and sat beside him and just started chatting with him. And it's times like that that I often will, like a scripture will come to mind just like that. I'll say, whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. Oh, that's a Bible verse. Here's a person that's in need. Connecting the dots. Sometimes that's how the Holy Spirit speaks. And there'll be someone right in front of you and you feel like, well, I didn't feel like that for the last guy or the other gal or whatever. But this one, there's something different. Where all of a sudden, that scripture's in your head, right at the forefront, whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. And there's a scruffy looking guy sitting right in front of you. And look at that, you have a 5-pound note right in your pocket. Huh. So the Spirit has spoken in those ways. Sometimes the Spirit gives you discernment. I've also had people ask me for stuff, you know, and sometimes they come up with really creative stories. So I had a time when someone asked me, like, oh, please, sir, yeah, oh, could you help me? I need some gas for my car, and it's just down the street here and whatever, and, you know, I just don't... I said, oh, okay, well, there's a gas station, like, right here. That's only, like, a block away. Let me help you push your car, and I'll put gas in it for you. I needed the money because my brother, it's actually my brother's car, and so, he doesn't want me to move it. And I was like, oh, okay, thanks, Lord, that was good discernment. Because the person didn't really need gas in their car. I don't know what they wanted money for or whatever, but it was two or three things. I said, okay, well, let's go to your brother's house. You said he's right around the corner. Let's talk to him and see if he has a jerry can, and then we could get you the gas. It's not so much, he doesn't just live around the corner. It's further away, so, you know, I wouldn't want to inconvenience you. If you just gave me the 10 bucks, it would just, you know. But the story just kept going on and on and on. I said, you know what, I'm sorry, I can't really help you today. If you do need gas, let me know. You know, I'll finish my lunch here for the next 10 minutes, but it sounds like that's not really what you need. Oh, well, yeah. Oh. Anyway, sometimes the Spirit will give us discernment to know what questions to ask or how to, something will seem shady or off about a person. And you might have even just a sense of in your gut. Sometimes we just call it a gut feeling. It might be where the Spirit might speak to you in that way. I had a friend when I was in Korea, and I visited with a friend there, and he was going home to see his grandfather who was dying. Now, this friend of mine, we'd been friends since like grade 3. In high school, he came to know the Lord. My mom, he was asking me questions on the way home in grade 9, and I didn't know how to answer them. So I said, well, I don't know, but come talk to my mom. She knows. So we went home and we talked to my mom, and he was asking about Jesus, and my mom led him to the Lord, and we were friends, and we were in youth group, and we were just best buddies for so long. But he had some rough life experiences and kind of drifted away. And then we were in Korea, and I was visiting him, and I knew he was going home to see his grandfather, who lived at the end of my street where I grew up. I knew his grandparents, and I felt like I needed to tell him to remind his grandpa about Jesus. I said, if your grandpa's really on his deathbed, you know the truth. Don't forget that. And it was so awkward. I didn't want to tell him. I was really awkward, like he's a friend of mine, and I know that he knows Jesus because he followed Jesus. But I know that the life experiences he had really pushed him away from God. But there was something that was very deeply convicting for me to say, if his grandpa is going to die and he doesn't know Christ, there's no turning back. You don't get a second chance. And so I waited and I waited because I didn't know how to say it. I didn't know what to say. And so finally, we were on like the bus going to the airport. And I said it like right before I left because I was so nervous and I didn't know what to say. But I did at least get it out before we parted ways. And I don't know if he went home or if he told his grandpa about Jesus or how that all went. But I do know his grandpa passed away soon after. And I do know that the Holy Spirit was prompting me, nudging me, giving me the idea to do that thing. And that it didn't go away until I did it. Sometimes that's how I've heard the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he'll remind me how to pray for somebody. Like right now, to be like, pray for them. Now, stop, pray for them. They're in surgery, or I don't even know what they're doing, but pray for them now. Or sometimes I might be driving by someplace. I was riding my bike past City Hall the other day. Pray for the mayor. Pray for your city. Oh, okay. So sometimes then I would even email and say, hey, mayor, just so you know, I was thinking of you and praying for you today, and I pray that you would experience God's wisdom as you make some difficult decisions. So God guides us in our daily lives. And how we hear him, sometimes it might be what job to take, or there's lots of things. I don't know how God has spoken to you, but I pray and I trust that God has been bringing some things to your mind as I've just shared examples of how he sometimes speaks, because it's difficult to discern. And so here's my action plan for you. Here's my challenge. First, invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to come in a fresh way and to speak and to engage with you. Secondly, confess your sin. Ask God, is there sin in my life I need to get rid of? Confess it. Repent of it. Deal with it. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And thirdly, here's the real action. I want to encourage you to experiment. Experiment with hearing the Holy Spirit. Ask God to speak to you, and then practice responding to those thoughts and the inclinations and the nudges that you feel may be from him. This is how you learn to, quote unquote, hear the Holy Spirit. By experimenting. Practice it. Practice obeying what you think God is telling you to do. I dare you. But think about it. Don't we want to walk in the Spirit? Don't we want to keep in step with the Spirit? Don't we want God's Word to inform our daily decisions? And the Spirit tells us how to do that. Now, again, just a couple little points. If the idea is not in line with Scripture, then that's not the Holy Spirit. If the idea is not in line with God's nature, which is love, probably not from Him. If it's not about God's mission, it's probably not from, or against God's mission, probably not from God. So how do you confirm it? Well, I would say, if this is like a low-risk thing, so even yesterday, I walked over here to church to do some work. On my way, I passed the house where I know where a person lives. And I felt like God, I thought, I'm engaging in this experiment too. So I'm like, okay, I want to practice this too. And I thought, invite that person to church. I do know them. So I did. I actually had passed. I'm like, I don't know if this is really God or not. And then I got to the corner and I thought, well, what's the big deal? If it's God and I do it, hey, I've obeyed. If it's not God and I do it, I've invited someone to church. So, and it's inconveniencing me by about 5 minutes. So I stopped at the corner. I was like, oh, well, I'm going to do the experiment. Let's go back and do that. Knocked on the door, invite the person to church, tell them about baseball game, different things like that. Okay, great. Low risk. So if it's a low risk thing like that, or I don't know what God's going to lead you to do, but if it's low risk, like, do it. Just see, like, if that's what God is telling you to do, do it. Encouraging somebody. Call them up. Okay, so even if it wasn't the Holy Spirit, you just called and encouraged somebody. That's low risk. I don't know what else it might be. Now, if it's higher risk, like change neighborhoods or find a different job or something else, like pray with another believer. If your spouse is a believer too, ask God to show it to you. Come and ask for counsel. I'd be more than willing to pray with you. Have someone else tell them what you're thinking and experiencing and get a sense of that. But I want to encourage you more than anything else today. I want to encourage you to experiment with hearing God. Experiment with practicing what God will tell you, if you want to. Now, God's Holy Spirit is not pushy. He will not force himself on you. And if you don't want to do this, don't worry. You don't have to. But If you want to hear the Holy Spirit and you want to interact and you want to have more of God's life in you, God makes His Spirit available and wants us to walk and keep in step with the Spirit. But it takes time, and we have to learn how to walk at that pace. I'm still learning, friends. So this is not a master class. This is a, here's kind of what I've experienced. Here's what the Word of God has said. I hope that some of the stories that I've told you about how God has spoken to me have resonated with you. I hope that you can think back to times where you're like, oh, maybe that was God. Or that even in the future, you'll say, ah, maybe this is God speaking to me. Imagine freedom, a clean conscience, walking with God, directing your steps, bringing the Scriptures to mind, helping you live in fulfillment, a clear conscience and a sin-free life, seeing other family members and friends and neighbors connecting with God because of our witness, our example and our love. Imagine the joy that God wants to bring into your life as you learn to walk according to His Spirit and fulfill the purpose God has for you in an even greater way. I believe that as God's Spirit leads us as individuals and as a church, that we will pray and love and live the will of God in a greater way so that His kingdom will come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Friends, we are people of the Holy Spirit.